I picked something to read just before coming down. I've spoken on this topic before, but I don't think I've spoken on it here. So I thought maybe I would speak on it here. And it's a topic which is really meant for sadhakas, devotees, practitioners of Krishna consciousness. And I thought that I would take advantage of the assembly of devotees for covering a topic of this nature. It's about association. And it's written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his essays of the verses, essential verses from Upadeshamrita. He has composed 12 essays on the 6 items which are favorable for the execution of devotional service and 6 items which are unfavorable. And for each one, he wrote an essay, and it has later it was compiled into the book, which I oftentimes read from, entitled Sri Bhakti Loka. And the whole book, all the essays which were compiled, were specifically directed towards persons who are sadhakas, meaning those who are chanting 16 rounds, or those who are chanting Hare Krishna together, those who are engaged in kirtan together, and those who are living their life according to the principles of Krishna consciousness. And because one of the principles of Krishna consciousness that Rupa Goswami explains in his activities which are favorable and those which are non-favorable is giving up the association of non-devotees. And when one reads something like this and one tries to put it into practice, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur immediately addresses what that means, because he specifically states here, what is association and giving up association? He says many people have doubts about this. Doubts may be there, because if just by coming close to a materialist or material object is considered associating with them, then there's no way to give up this association. So, and I find oftentimes that one of the things in the course of my travels, I oftentimes hear from devotees, they get this, you know, that I can't do it anymore. I mean, I can't live like this. I have to associate with so many materialistic people, you know. And they, what does it lead them? It leads them to a sense of wanting to, you know, renounce, but not properly, artificially. Because renunciation, which is done because something is too troublesome, is renunciation in the mode of passion. And therefore, such type of renunciation is really not conducive for devotional service, because when one renounces one's duties in the mode of passion, generally because it's not on the transcendental platform, and because it's not, renunciation is not inspired by wanting to deepen one's commitment to Krishna consciousness, but rather it's more inspired by giving up those things which are too troublesome, then it doesn't really enhance one's devotional service when it's artificially done in this way. Whereas we know on the basis of Yukta Vairagya that real renunciation means that everything is connected to Krishna, which means Manasa Deha Geha Yogi Chumora, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my wealth, my family, my home, everything belongs to you, Krishna. And therefore, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his ideal household life, demonstrates how to live ideally as a householder, seeing one's home as that which belongs to Krishna, and he even considers himself to be compared to be like a dog who stays out the front of the house and and protects the house from any intruders who will come and intrude upon Krishna's home. That's how he describes in his meditation, in his prayers. So, of course, this is real renunciation. So, therefore, in this essay, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically is addressing what does it mean to give up association, because one of the principles are that we should give up association with non-devotees. But how is that possible? How do you give up? And he says, many people have doubts about this. What does it mean? And why? Why should I give up? I mean, we're supposed to preach to everybody. So he specifically explains or elaborates upon what is association and what is not association. It's not very detailed, and in fact, he ends his analysis with, I'll jump to the end, because he explains at the end of this section about association. He said that there's no need to speak further about this, he says. Due to their pious activities, those who have developed faith in devotional service have a little intelligence by the mercy of Krishna. Due to that intelligence, they can easily understand the essence of the Acharya's instructions. Therefore, only a few words are needed to instruct them. Those who have no pious credits have no faith. Even if they are given volumes of instruction, they will not understand a thing. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has given only a few words of instruction in Sri Upadeshamrita. So he concludes this by saying, look, I could expand on this forever, but if you don't have enough pious activities, if you don't have enough devotional credits to catch it, then you won't be able to understand, even if I go on explaining. He says, therefore, I'm just giving... just what's needed to elaborate on this point. That, of course, as we said, that's his concluding words on the topic. But I haven't I'm not concluding them yet because I haven't started. But I just read that simply to explain that there's not so many details here. We should try to have faith in the words of the Acharyas and try to understand what they mean. And we should try to learn how to apply these principles in our day-to-day life so that we can actually take the greatest advantage of associating with devotees, and so that we can, by associating with devotees, we can be sufficiently protected, and so that we are unaffected by mundane association. And that's why he's given these instructions. So with that introduction, I'm going to read. And if you have questions about something, it's only about this topic. Although I could elaborate on it a lot, and I will elaborate it significantly. But this is the essence of the topic which I'm going to cover tonight, association. What is association? What is not association? And how to survive spiritually and remain spiritually fit, strong, inspired, and unaffected, despite having to be oftentimes surrounded by worldly-minded people whose lifestyle, whose attachments and behavior could easily become a drain for somebody who doesn't know how to be around them. And so let's see if this explanation will help. Of course, one other point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about how this applies in relationship to the renunciants and the householders. He does this a lot in his teachings. When he's speaking about the renunciants, immediately we think, oh, the sannyasis, but actually he's speaking specifically about those who are not householders but following, you know, the principles of renounced life by being fully engaged in hearing and chanting and sadhana and preaching. And those are renunciates, not necessarily sannyasis. It could also apply to brahmacharis. And in some cases, it could also apply to householders. It really depends on one's lifestyle and one's faith. Let's put it that way. So he distinguishes renunciates and householders and in this explanation also, and how it applies to each. Okay, that's an introduction. What is association and giving up association? Many people have doubts about this. Doubts may be there because if just by coming close to a materialist or material object is considered associating with them, there's no way to give up this association. As long as the material body is there, how can one give up the proximity of these things? How can a Grihastha Vaishnava give up his family members? One cannot give up the association of deceitful persons, even if they are renunciates. Even if renunciate means even if a person is a renunciate, he cannot give, not if the deceitful people are renunciates, but even if a renunciate cannot give up deceitful association of deceitful people. One will have to come across materialists in one's life, whether one is a grihastha or a renunciate. Therefore, the limit for giving up the association of materialists is prescribed in Sri Upadeshamrita as follows. And then he quotes a very well-known verse, Dadati pratigrinati guyam akyati prichchati bhungte bhojhayate chaiva sad vidham priti lakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam, and offering prasadam are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. That is Rupa Goswami's instruction from Sri Upadeshamrita. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the limit for giving up association is prescribed in Sri Upadeshamrita as follows. So here's the limit. What does that mean? I will explain. But first, let me read a little bit more. O sadhakas, one must accept proximity with both bad and good people as one passes his life. This equally applies to householders and renunciates. Proximity must be there. Nevertheless, one should not engage in bad association. Giving in charity, accepting charity, revealing one's mind, hearing one's mind, I guess hearing another person's mind, accepting foods and giving foods, if done with love, these are called sangha or association. Giving some foodstuffs to a hungry person and accepting some charity from a pious man is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. But if they are pure devotees, then such activities are performed out of love. When one acts are performed out of love, then it is association. Therefore, giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items or wealth from them becomes sat sangha, giving charity to a materialist or accepting charity from one, if done out of love, becomes asat sangha. When a materialist approaches you, whatever is required to be done should be done only out of duty. One should not speak confidentially with a materialist. Generally, there is some love involved in confidential speaking. Therefore, it is association. While meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only about what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking to him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. There is no association in ordinary talk. There's a lot here. There's more. One should behave with ordinary people as one externally behaves with a stranger while buying something in the market. The same dealings with a pure devotee of the Lord should be done out of love. If one is obliged to feed hungry people, needy people, and teachers, should do so as a host dutifully cares for his guest. There's no need to exhibit love. Care for them, but not out of love. One should feed pure Vaishnavas with love, and required accept the remnants given by them with love. If one can behave in this way while giving in charity, accepting charity, speaking confidentially, hearing confidentially, feeding and accepting food with one's wife, children, servants, maidservants, strangers, and whoever else one meets, there will be no unholy association, only good association. There is no hope of achieving devotion to Krishna until one gives up unholy association this way. There's more, but I think I've read a lot already. And before I speak and explain, does anybody want to try to explain what I've read so far themselves? They think they've understood it? I'd like to see what your impressions are on this.
Well, I have questions.
I knew you would. But don't forget it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking, because sometimes when you ask your questions, it's almost like, hey, wait a minute. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I haven't spoken yet. So, do you have a question about what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first of all, just out of love, shouldn't you approach everyone out of love?
Okay, I will explain. Because this is where it really, we really have to understand, what does love mean? And also, Prabhupada does explain, I think it's in the Ishopanishad, that one should be very careful not to imitate a Mahabhagavata. Because sometimes we hear the Mahabhagavata, he sees everybody serving Krishna except himself. So, his love is for everyone. He's on the Mahabhagavata platform because he sees everyone and never sees anything external. So, but to imitate a Mahabhagavata in one's ordinary affairs, Prabhupada explains, it can lead to fall down. We should not imitate a Mahabhagavata. We follow in their footsteps, but not imitate. And Prabhupada speaks about that in Ishopanishad. I can't remember the exact words that he uses, but therefore, yes, we should display love, or we should love everyone. All Krishna says they're all his parts and parcels. And one who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord is a true knower of things. He's not an illusion. He's not in anxiety. He sees everybody as a servant of Krishna. And because he sees them as a servant of Krishna, therefore, he's always serving them in their service to Krishna, which primarily means he's always he doesn't preach, which is essentially the Mahabhagavata. doesn't preach, and Prabhupada explains the Mahabhagavata, the first class devotee, he has to make distinctions, and therefore he steps down from the Mahabhagavata platform to the second class platform in order to preach. Because if everybody's serving Krishna except for oneself, then how can you preach to anybody? You know, you can't. So even the Mahabhagavata, who is on that topmost platform of devotional service, who loves all living beings, in order to make distinctions as to who to preach, who to avoid, whose association to avoid, who to love, who to worship, he steps down to the second class platform, which means that he worships the Lord, he makes friends with the devotees, he's compassionate to those who are innocent, and he preaches to them, and he avoids the atheists. Makes distinctions. He has to. So, his love for the atheists is upeksha. Upeksha means he's indifferent towards it. Not indifferent, he's neglect. Upeksha means neglect. He neglects them. That's his love for them. Why does he neglect them? Because he knows that if he preaches to the atheist is going to just attack and commit offenses and become more degraded. So his love for the atheist is he neglects them. In his heart, and this is explained in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where it describes the characteristics of the Madhyama devotee, in his heart he prays to Krishna, please, you, only you can do something. He doesn't say anything, but he prays for the welfare of the atheist. But his love towards an atheist is to neglect him. How can he please an atheist? How can he render service with love to an atheist? You know, what can you do to satisfy an atheist? If you're going to satisfy him and his desires and try to please him, forget it. You're going to degrade. Because the only thing he desires is sense gratification. And the only thing he desires is to deny Krishna's existence. How can you lovingly serve an atheist? And please Krishna by that. It's impossible. So his love for the atheist is neglected. That's his love. For those who are innocent, his love to those who are innocent, of course, is born of compassion. The innocent generally means those who are misled. And therefore he displays his love and compassion towards them by preaching to them, helping them. He doesn't in any way subordinate himself to their desires because they're not pure devotees. And therefore, love, real love, the meaning of love means there's two parts of love according to Rupa Goswami. One part of love is that you don't expect anything in return. And you're already doing that when you do it out of duty. Right? When you're doing out of duty, Krishna says very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, you should perform your duty for my satisfaction. You perform your duties for me. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of your actions. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. Never be attached to not doing your duties. And Krishna also explains in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that one should know what is duty, what is not in duty, by the rules and regulations given in the scriptures. Knowing by such activities, one should act so he's gradually elevated and purified. And one who acts whimsically and doesn't follow his duties, which are ultimately meant for Krishna's pleasure, and doesn't follow the duties given to him according to scriptures, then he can achieve neither happiness nor perfection nor the supreme destination. So one should know what his duties are, and he should perform his duties ultimately. Yagyatat kamanyonyachak lokayam kamabandhanat. One should perform one's duties for Krishna's pleasure. Not when preaching to the non-devotees who are innocent. He doesn't try to satisfy their desires. He doesn't love them in the sense that, which is the other part of Rupa Goswami's definition of love, real love, means that one doesn't want anything in return, and the other is that he exclusively tries to satisfy the person that he's serving, love. Favorably, means to render service to Krishna favorably. as Krishna desires. That's the other definition. Help me. I got one. Verse. As Krishna desires. Correct? Anya balasita sunya gana kamanya avatam adukunyena Krishna rashilam bhakti rotama. It means it's that it's rendered without a desire for fruit of gain, without a desire for liberation. And it's first class devotional service means that it's rendered to please Krishna as Krishna desires. So, therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you do out of affection, out of love for a pure devotee, you're safe. Because when you serve a devotee who's pure, all his desires are simply for pleasing Krishna. So you serve him, it's as good as serving Krishna. For instance, the example I oftentimes think of is the story of Sakshi Gopal, with the two Brahmins. And the one Brahmin is thinking that he was serving the elderly Brahmin. And they were on their journey, on their pilgrimage, and he was always rendering service to the elderly Brahmin, making his journey so comfortable, so much that at the end of the journey, the elderly Brahmin became so overwhelmed by the service rendered by the young Brahmin that he said, "You've served me in every way. I didn't even feel any discomfort in this whole and during this whole journey. And as an offering, I want to do something to please you, and I want to give you my daughter in marriage." And when the younger Brahmin heard that, he said, Why are you doing? You just don't need to offer me anything. I don't want anything. Of course, he anticipated some problems too, but specifically he said, I serve you because by serving you, Krishna is pleased. Therefore, and then he said, Krishna is very pleased when the Brahmins are served. And therefore, I serve you. And when I serve you, I'm thinking that this is my way of pleasing Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased by my service to you, then this enhances the opulence of my devotional service. So he was specifically thinking, always, everywhere he was going, he was thinking about the pleasure of the Brahmin. Because he considered that the pleasure of the elderly Brahmin who was pure was as good as pleasing Krishna. There's no difference. Because he's pure. He's a pure Vaishnava. And Prabhupada also even explains in the commentary, interesting, he explains in the commentary one of these verses in the story of Sakshi Gopal. Because the whole story is about a young Brahmin wanting to please the elder Brahmin, and the elder Brahmin wanting to give his daughter in marriage to the younger Brahmin. And then there was the whole pastime was making Gopal a witness to this commitment that the elder Brahmin made to the younger Brahmin about a marriage. And Prabhupada says in the purport, what do we care about hearing a whole story about somebody's commitment to a marriage? You know, why would Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, why would they relish hearing such topics about, you know, some commitments to marriage? This is just karma kanda. He said, the reason is because these are pure Vaishnavas and because Krishna was involved. And not only that, they are pure Vaishnavas. Why was Krishna involved? Krishna was involved because they were pure Vaishnavas. Both of them were pure Vaishnavas. So, therefore, the younger Brahmin was thinking, I serve you because when I serve you, when I please you, when I think of your pleasure, Krishna is pleased. But is Krishna pleased when we serve the mundane, you know, desires of a materialistic person who may be innocent? We don't serve their mundane desires. We don't meditate on their pleasure because their pleasure is selfish pleasure. And we meditate, what we do meditate on is trying to help them become Krishna conscious. So this, how to display love is really what the essence of this whole instruction is about, is that And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you don't display love to materialistic people. You do it out of duty. And if you do it out of duty, then this is not association, and you won't become contaminated by that physical proximity, by being with those people. You keep your affection, you keep your love, loving relationships, as Rupa Goswami has given Upadeshamrita, the dati patagrinati guyamakyati pichati. Loving relation means when you render service with love, it means you please the person that you're serving. You want to please them. Whatever their desires are, you're always thinking, anticipating what their desires are. Let me do something to satisfy their desires, because their desires are as good as Krishna's desires. Therefore, by pleasing them, I'm pleasing Krishna. That's love. You can render service with love to a devotee. But you can't render service with love to a non-devotee in the same way, in the same spirit. Just as we already explained, to love an atheist, you love them by your neglect for them. To love a non-devotee and serve them, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh, let me go here, read it again. He said, meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking to him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. There's no association in ordinary talk. One should behave with ordinary people as one externally behaves with a stranger while buying something in the market. Same dealings with a pure devotee of the Lord should be done out of love. If one is obliged to feed hungry people, needy people, and teachers, he should do so as a host dutifully cares for his guest. There's no need to exhibit love. Care for them, but not out of love. And when required, accept the remnants given by them with love. I missed something. One should feed pure Vaishnavas with love, and when required, accept the remnants given by them with love. If one can behave in this way, while giving in charity, accepting charity, speaking confidentially, hearing confidentially, and so forth, then there will be no unholy association, only good association. There's more, but I'm trying to answer your question. Do you still have questions? I knew you would. That's why I'm not going to even go any farther.
There's a couple of things. One is you have a friend.
Yes.
That I can understand in the dealings with your friend. But people we approach lots of times, they're not even friends. We don't even know if they're atheists. We don't know anything. But we approach them with love for our spiritual master, for Krishna.
Yes.
So we love Krishna, so we go and approach these people.
We're doing it out of duty, and duty and love for our spiritual master and for Krishna. But love, as defined by Rupa Goswami, and he said specifically the limits of association are found in the verse, Dadati patagrinati guyam akyati pichchati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadvidham viti lakshanam. Says this is the limits which defined association, it said. And when you're in love, which is shared between one devotee and another, is when you give something, you're giving because you want to please them, not because you want to please Krishna or to serve the order of your spiritual master. It means you want to please them. So when you approach the non-devotees to serve the order of your spiritual master to please Krishna, it's the limits of this verse, the Dati Pritta Grinati, defines that, okay, do it for them as a duty to please them. We should certainly do our duties out of love for Krishna and for the spiritual master. But we don't, for the person, the object of our service, For them, we're doing it out of duty, not because we love them and therefore want to please them. There's a difference. We want to please them by giving them Krishna, because that's what Krishna wants to do. But not that we want to know what their desires are and how to satisfy their desires, which a devotee does with another devotee. A devotee, what he does with another devotee, he's always looking, like the Brahmin, younger Brahmin was always looking how to satisfy the desires of the elder Brahmin. When he would sit down, he immediately jump and put the cushion under him for his personal comfort. When he would need to eat, he would give him food. He would prepare food. When he was walking, as soon as he could see a little bit difficulty, just like the story of, also like the story of Devananda Pandit. Here's another example. Devananda Pandit and Vikreshwar Pandit. When Vikreshwar Pandit, a pure Vaishnava, came to the ashram of Devananda Pandit, Vikreshwar Pandit's qualities were so attractive that although Devananda Pandit was a mundane speaker of Bhagavatam, he was an impersonalist. He could not speak from Srimad Bhagavatam in a qualified way. But what happened is that when he saw Vikreshwar Pandit, he developed a desire to serve a pure devotee. And whenever he saw Vikreshwar Pandit manifesting ecstasy, he would start to fall over. Devananda Pandit would go and just stand around him and catch him so he wouldn't fall on the ground. He was rendering service. He was anticipating everything, how to please Devananda Pandit. When Devananda Pandit was, people were surrounding him, Vikreshwar Pandit, when people were surrounding him in his ecstasy, Devananda Pandit would stand there and protect him and keep everybody away, thinking not to disturb him. When he would fall to the ground, he would catch him. And even one time when he fell to the ground, he held him in his lap and he took the dust from his body and he began smearing the dust on his own body. So, therefore, he was rendering service to a pure Vaishnava, and he was thinking in everything how to please this person. And because he was thinking that way, he became purified. Because he was thinking that way and serving Devananda Pandit that way, although previously he couldn't even recognize Lord Chaitanya, after serving Vikreshwar Pandit, he recognized Lord Chaitanya's glories. Such is the power of trying to please a Vaishnava. Right? But the Vaishnava, when he sees a mundane person, he doesn't, for Vikreshwar Pandit to go in and say, oh, Devananda Pandit, and then render all kinds of service to him, he didn't do that. He didn't please him. He was absorbed, completely absorbed in kirtan, absorbed in ecstasy of devotional service. So there's a difference. Yes, we serve the Lord, we serve the devotees of the Lord with love. We definitely serve. It's not only do we try to please them, but we have love for them, which means that I'm ready to do anything to please them, whatever they want. Their wish is my command. But for a mundane person, our love is withheld. It's done out of duty towards them. There's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no hostility is created. It's not like we say, look, I'm sorry, I could care less about you. But it's done so nicely because it's meditating upon the spiritual master and Krishna. It's done so nicely that even a person who's not a devotee will be attracted by. Because the person, anyone who performs his duty for Krishna's pleasure, for the spiritual master's pleasure, he's not expecting anything in return for his service. He does it out of duty. He's not expecting anything out of it. So that's, in some sense, is one criteria of his love. But just like when this verse, the dati pratigrinati guyamakyati pichati, it means when we give gifts to others, sometimes we hear this verse, we think we give, Rupa Goswami says, giving gifts and accepting gifts. We think, giving gifts and taking gifts, that's love. But that's not how he's defining love. Actually, the love, when there's love there, when a person is giving a gift, he's not thinking about what he's going to take in return. Because he's doing it out of love. He's thinking, I'm giving this out of love. I want to please this person. He's never thinking, I'll continue to do this only if he gives me something back. He's satisfied by giving out of love. And what makes it even more complete is when the person who's receiving the gift understands this is being offered with love. I have to accept it. And that makes it complete. It's already complete. It's offered with love. It's accepted with love. That's the complete loving exchange right there. That's how Krishna deals with his devotees. When his devotees offer something to him with love, the perfection of that service, of that offering, is Krishna has accepted it. The devotee is in ecstasy. The perfection of his service. Finally, after crores of lifetimes, I've offered something to Krishna and Krishna has accepted it. And he's so happy. It's the perfection of his devotional service. That why did Krishna accept it? Krishna won't accept anything unless it's offered with love. So in the same thing, in loving exchanges between devotees, loving exchanges, the exchange is not, I give to you, you give to me. Great, as long as I give to you, you give to me, I'll continue to love you. But it's not. The exchange is, because you're a devotee and I love you and I want to serve you, please, I beg you, accept. And the devotee understands, he's offering with love. I have to accept. It's how, not just as duty, but I have to. And that's a complete loving relationship amongst devotees. The dati, giving gifts. And accepting gifts means one person gives, the other person accepts. Revealing one's mind in confidence and acquiring confidentially. These are other methods of loving exchanges. Giving prasadam. One person gives the prasadam, the other person accepts the prasadam. It's love. These are loving exchanges. Why? Because these types of loving exchanges are actually replicas of our attempt to have a loving exchange with Krishna. And Krishna only accepts that which is offered with love. Otherwise, he won't accept. If you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's so many different examples given in Chaitanya Bhagavat where Vrindavan Das Thakur says, the materialist can never understand this pastime between the Lord and the devotee. He said, the millionaires, materialists, they can offer, they think that by offering something to the Lord will accept it, but the Lord's not inclined to accept even millions from the millionaire materialists. But we see it from Kolavecha Sridhar, he's so eager to accept even, you know, a small offering because it's offered with love. So, therefore, our relationships with devotees are meant to actually enhance our devotional service and to qualify us to someday being able to offer something to Krishna and having him accept it. This is the nature between loving exchanges. So they're reserved for devotees. And therefore, as we said before, we should be careful not to imitate the Mahabhagavata and be ready to see everybody serving Krishna and being ready. Mahabhagavat doesn't preach. But to preach, he steps down and distinguishes. So, more questions on that? Or is it?
Okay, the Mahabhagavat, I understand. But then he comes down to the second class platform and he makes these distinctions.
Yeah.
But there's when he's approaching somebody who is not a devotee, there's no love. Why can't he have love? I mean,
he does have love.
I mean, for the soul, he could.
He for the Mahabhagavata, he does have love. Yes. Oh, the second class. You talk about the second class devotee. Yeah. I talk about the Mahabhagavata who steps down to the second class platform.
What about just somebody on the second class platform? Wasn't a Mahabhagavata.
Well, if he's not a Mahabhagavata, then he's on the second. He has to make distinctions, so out of love means he worships the Lord. His friendly relationships with devotees. Preaches to the innocent and he avoids the atheist, neglect. because he's not on the Mahabhagavata platform. And because he's not on the Mahabhagavata platform, he shouldn't imitate the Mahabhagavata and think he can love everybody. Because he doesn't, because he still hasn't come to that platform of seeing everybody as the Mahabhagavata sees them. And therefore should not imitate the Mahabhagavata.
Well, he could be loving, just like you mentioned earlier, the way he would love the demons is by not...
Yes. But I'm sorry, but I gave the definition of love. We said that the limits of his love, which for association, were the dati patagunati. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the limits of that are understood from within this verse. His love is not in trying to please them by giving them something that will satisfy them. His love is his love for his spiritual master and his love for the Lord. And because he's doing that with his love for his spirit, this can also have a deep impression upon a person. They definitely have a deep impression that he's doing it out of love for his worshipful Lord. He's doing it out of love for his worshipful spiritual master. This also can have a very deep impression and impact upon a person who's the object of such love. But again, it's as far as giving, he's not giving to please. He's giving the person, he's giving to please the spiritual master in Krishna. And what is he giving? He's giving the best gift, Krishna consciousness, either in the form of a book, in the form of Krishna prasadam, in the form of, you know, of preaching, Krishna's instructions, form of the holy name. The highest form of giving love to everyone, giving the pure holy name to everyone you meet. But that love is for the Lord and for the devotees of the Lord. And he becomes, and not only that, but when the Lord came to distribute love of God, he had to distribute the holy name. He didn't come alone. He came with his devotees. And why did he come with his devotees? He came with his devotees so that others could see loving exchanges the Lord has with his devotees and become attracted by the Lord's loving exchanges with his devotees. If you remember in the beginning of Lord Chaitanya, nobody was not a devotee, was allowed into the kirtan. He was only relishing that kirtan with his devotees. And anybody tried to get in there, they were told, don't even let him in. Of course, a few times somebody snuck in, and there were definitely repercussions. But the Lord did it only with his devotees. And then after doing it with his devotees, then he took that out, those loving exchanges with his devotees. He brought it out into the street so that others could see those loving exchanges and become swept up by the Lord's loving exchanges with his devotees. So therefore he didn't come alone. He came with his devotees to assist him, so that the non-devotees can see the loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees and become attracted. Oh, I want a part of that too.
So the loving exchanges between the devotees is pretty clear. The relationships, it seems mechanical or impersonal when you have a relationship with a non-devotee. Would you consider it impersonal?
No, it's not impersonal. Because you're doing the best thing you can for the non-devotee.
You don't have any feelings whatsoever, it's just duty.
You're taking this word love, you're always coming back to the, you know, the touchy-feely side conception of love. Yes. Well, you don't slobber over them. I mean, like, but you're friendly towards them because it's out of duty, because you should, out of service to your spiritual master and Krishna, you're dealing with him in such a way to attract them to their association. But love means, as we said, we define love. It's not just we're defining love means pleasing the object. That's Rupa Goswami's definition. Anya Balashita Shunya. His definition of love is to please the object.
But that's what you're trying to do if you're giving them Krishna. You're not trying to please them.
They're not capable of being pleased yet. They're not capable. You can't please them yet. You want to, pleasing them means, what do you want? And you ask them, as soon as you ask them, what do you want? You say, hey, buddy, you got $500 on. I want to go to the racetrack. You want to give them $500 and go to the racetrack? You can't please them. You only can please them by serving your spiritual master and Krishna with love.
If you see them as a spirit soul.
But if you see them as a spirit soul, but on the second class platform, you see them as a spirit soul and Krishna's in their heart. You see Krishna in the heart. That's the second class platform. And they're a spirit soul, and they haven't yet followed Krishna's dictation within their heart. They're still following their own mental concoctions. So we're pleasing Krishna in their heart. Yes, that we're doing. But we're not pleasing their mental concoctions. So we understand Krishna's in that second class devotee. He sees Krishna in the heart. And therefore, because Krishna's in their heart, I have to deal them with in such a way that they'll turn to Krishna. That's love. But he doesn't try to please them. He tries to please Krishna in their heart.
I guess that's the them part. When you say them, you're thinking of their body or mind. But if you're thinking of them as a spirit soul, you are trying to please them.
Yeah, but they're not on that platform yet. You can tell them, okay, you're a spirit soul. Now be on the spiritual platform completely. You know, their desires still aren't purified. But if you want to bring them to that platform, you want to bring them to that platform where you can actually serve anything that they want in giving gifts, and giving prasadam, and in revealing one's mind in conference, because that's the limits of what we're talking about in this discussion of displays of love. Giving prasadam, giving gifts, and revealing one's mind in confidence, and requiring confidentiality in confidence. That's right at the very beginning. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the limits are understood from this verse. These are the limits we're talking about in loving exchanges. Therefore, that's the limit. We don't overextend ourselves in a loving way. I can't stop until my godbrother's satisfied. You have to understand, he's my godbrother. And I live to please him and to serve him. I can't stop until he's satisfied.
We give prasadam to the atheists out of love.
Huh?
Prasadam to the atheists out of love. Prabhupada said that's our secret
weapon. Yeah, we give them prasadam.
So that's out of love. It's one of the loving exchanges. It's giving prasadam.
That's not what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Can you speak? Are you going to answer Piyari's questions?
Yes.
Oh.
Love Krishna and love everyone who loves Krishna. That's all. That's the bottom. If you have more questions, please see me after the class. My question is, how many bare platform of devotees are there? So one I heard, second I heard.
What's that?
like the platform devotees, Mahabhagavat.
How many platforms?
The second platform.
Well, we're speaking basically about the Mahabhagavata, the second class, Majjhima Bhakta, and the Kanishta. Yes. See, stage. There's a lot of questions. I knew there would be. Whoever starts speaking first, I'll answer. Whoever starts speaking first, I'll answer.
I have a question on the Kanishta, since you went on the Kanishta. Uh-huh. So you are associating dutifully with all the materialists, with love for your guru and Krishna. But if you're on the Kanishta platform and you're associating with materialists, aren't you going to be influenced or by...
No, because that's the point right here. You're not associating with them. You're not. That's the point he made. You are not associating them when you do it out of duty.
Oh, so you might have Mishrama yourself.
Huh?
That you're sort of associating with them, but not... At the,
You're not associating. Association only comes when there's love. Because then you're bound in that relationship. With affection. Therefore, he says, don't withhold your love. If you withhold your love and do it out of duty, you're clear. So there's no unholy association. He made that point clear.
So if we are being influenced, that means we are showing some love towards
them. Well, it could also mean that we're weak. And we're also weak and we haven't seen things in the proper perspective in those particular relationships and we're being affected by them. Doesn't necessarily mean that we've had loving relationships, illicit loving relationships with them. It doesn't necessarily mean, but it could mean that we're taking their bad association. Wait a minute. This is, there's limits also to this. What time is it?
No.
8:43. Yes. The original question. What is association? What is not association?
I could be wrong, but theoretically, this is my understanding. That for a practicing devotee, the real object or the only object is to have prema bhakti for Krishna. If our exclusive love is restricted to pure devotees, then that brings us closer to our goal of loving Krishna. So if we are eating prasadam which has been prepared by a pure devotee, we are being blessed with the devotion of that person who cooked that prasadam for Krishna. If we are revealing our mind to a senior devotee who is a pure Vaishnava, if we have an issue or a problem, then the guidance that comes from them is in line with the sadhu and the shastra, and that also brings us closer to Krishna. If our love, real love, is for a non-devotee, then that materially entangles us, just like Bharat Maharaj's love for the deer deviated him from the real goal of loving Krishna and brought him back into the material world. So the more we associate with the pure devotees, the closer we come to Krishna, and the more we deal with non-devotees through our heart, the farther away we go from Krishna.
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, our faith decreases in pure devotional service.
Yeah. So if we, theoretically, if we could treat all the people who are non-devotees like that deer and consider ourselves Bharat Maharaj, then we do our duty, feed them, take care of them, and just, that's it, bring an end to it. But when we, from the heart, when we become entangled with non-devotees, that's where the problem begins.
So you just want me to confirm if that analysis is correct?
I'm answering the question which you asked, like, what is your understanding from what I spoke?
Yes, I completely agree.
I have one question. So the association with the friends which are not
devotees, you can avoid, you can neglect them. But how about association with your immediate, like family members, your parents, your sister, your brother? They are not devotees, they are not following anything. Even if you try to explain them, they are teaching you back.
They are what?
They are teaching you back. So how you should do in this case, because as a parent, you have a duty towards them. But them eating meat, then how you will associate with them?
How do you associate with them? You don't have to associate with them in the ways that we talked about. You associate as a matter of duty. You're your parents. Or what, vice versa. You know.
You still have a love from them from your heart, right? As a parent, you have a love from them. And you're connecting with the love with them.
Yes, that's true. There is some love, but we have to be careful. Again, it's that's the point that he makes. It's specific. He says even amongst family members. He didn't say just to the materialistic people. He said even amongst family members, one has to protect themselves. And to protect, internally, one has to protect themselves. They display love. Just like if you read in 7th canto, 14th chapter, Prahlad Maharaj's instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj about ideal grihastha life. I mean, he says something there that may sound really devious, and it's how a husband deals with his family, and it's I'll just read it because I have it here, so if I read it then you'll be able to catch the point. Hopefully you'll be able to catch the point I'm making. The 7th canto. It's not necessary towards the wife, it's towards the other family members also. Leave it to PRA. Okay, here's Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life. And he says, while working to earn his livelihood, as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society, unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. An intelligent man in human society should make his own program of activities very simple. If there are suggestions from his friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled. So, same instruction is there. Yes. You know, some people say, well, that's you know, duplicitous. You know, here we have Narada Muni giving instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj, you should be duplicitous. You know, you should say one thing and mean something else. You know? And we might immediately begin to question, what does that mean? You know, is there some... But if the point is if they're asking us to do something that is completely contradicts Vaishnava principles, and our compromises, our efforts to advance in devotional service, then we have to be able to at least make the distinction internally. And if we can't make the distinction and we just look at it in a kind of a muddled way of like, yeah, you know, it's all one. I mean, you know, if we don't know, Vaishnava has to be able to discriminate. If he can't discriminate, then how will he ever actually make progress? One of the anarthas of devotional service is to know not to be in ignorance about what is tattva. It's an anartha. So we should know what is a wrong activity. Although externally, we can And there are many examples of this even in Shastra, externally behaving in a way that's like, okay. But, you know, like Raghunath Das, right? He convinced his parents he was completely bred into their whole mood. He, like, his parents were thinking, boy, we got him again. He's ours, you know? Just see how attached he is to his wife. Just see how attached he is to the money we're giving him. Just see how, he's, you know, they were completely convinced. But in Raghunath's heart, none of that was there. But he had them convinced. And Lord Chaitanya even gave instructions to Rupa Sanatan Goswami. He said that you should behave with them. We know this like a woman who has a paramour. When a woman has a paramour, she's always thinking of her lover in her heart. But externally, she's even more attentive to her duties so her husband never suspects. That's what it means. We have to be attentive to our duties. Attentive. But within our heart, we should be very, very careful and make distinctions so that we don't fall. Yes, we should display love, especially amongst family members. You have to. But we should know what we're doing. We should know, especially if they're asking us, you know, to do something which compromises our Krishna consciousness. Is it clear?
Yeah, thank you.
Do you have any challenges?
depends on the situation. Because if somebody says, oh, why don't you do this? They're not going to say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And they say, that's ridiculous. How can I do that? You know, I don't do that. You know, why don't you have a hamburger? I don't eat meat. You know, it's like, we, you know, you can't just...
Well, I'm not... Obviously, I wasn't speaking in terms of such things like that.
No, you know, when they quote from the Bhagavatam, it sounds like you just say anything to just satisfy him at the time, and then you just do what you want to do.
No, but that's not that's in relationship to how one maintains his family. That was what that verse I quoted from the Bhagavatam is for the householder, how he should be careful not to become too overly encumbered in his life and forget the goal of life. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's, his children or his parents are telling me to hamburger.
Is it that he's trying to avoid this prayasa over...
Over-endeavoring.
They're telling him, get this, get that, and he says, yeah, okay, but he knows that if he tries, then it will just, like, make him over-endeavor and forget his goal. That's kind of what...
That could be there also.
Yeah.
That could be there also, yes.
Okay. I just say it doesn't apply in every circumstance. Sometimes you'll tell the person, no, I don't want to do that for this reason. But in a lot of times, I can understand you have to do that. This
it depends on the relationship. Depends on the relationship, depends on the understanding of the person. But still, you have to be able to make the distinction in your heart between what is...
Right, right.
If you don't make... And that was the essence of the point. You have to know. You have to discriminate. It's not all one. You know, it's not that I love them, and therefore I'll just do whatever they
right.
want me to do.
Right.
Maharaj, would you like to contribute to this discussion? I thought, I mean, but you can do better. You just walked 50 kilometers, right? 20 miles. Should take a dip. It was pretty warm today. No, not the Hudson. No. Prabhupada even talked about it, I think, someplace in one lecture. He talked about Hudson River. Yeah, I need to... I mean, the truth of the matter is I also have to... I can't go too late tonight. I got to leave real early tomorrow morning. And I've got an interview with Yadubar. Abhishaka actually is doing an interview for the Acharya movie, and I'm flying to Kazakhstan tomorrow. So, also. So, yeah, I don't want to go too late. What time? Oh, here's my watch. It's 9 o'clock.
Wow.
And there's still a kirtan that you wanted me to have, right? And there's still prashadam, right? So I'll leave it up to you. Should I answer more questions? Huh? It's a silly question. Why do you want to ask a silly question?
No, what I mean is, on a practical level, I tend to give a lot of gifts. You should stop gifting anything to
non-devotees.
No. Give it to me, my lead.
Something back.
You do it out of duty.
Yeah. I try to give something that won't implicate me, like, you know, not like,
yeah, well,
like cooking utensils or something that they can cook meat in and implicate
me. Yeah.
But like a candle or something, a scarf, you know, they can't eat a scarf. So
yeah, you definitely should avoid those things which are...
So you can give...
Yes.
Out of duty.
Out of duty. But you also have to be careful what you accept, too, you know. I think of it... Oh, I don't know if I should tell the story. Yeah, I'll tell the story. It was many years ago, I was flying on a flight from, I think it was Krasnodar to Minsk in the Soviet Union. I think it was just at the fall of the Soviet. And I was sitting in an airplane, and there was another gentleman on the plane who was in the row up, Not in front of me, but he was in front and one row over. And he kind of could tell I was a Westerner. And he asked me if I understood Russian. And at that time, I hardly understood any Russian. So I just said, I understand a little. That's all. But so he started speaking to me. And then he kept on going and going and going and going. And I just didn't understand anything. And I know I was looking at him. I was trying to tell him that I didn't understand, but he wasn't listening to me. And he seemed like he was telling me, he was like pouring his heart out to me. And then and it went on for like about 10, 15 minutes or something like that. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, he even said panimayesh. Panimayesh is like, you know, it's the familiar term. Do you understand? Like, you know, it's in a loving way. And so I looked at him and I just said, which means I don't understand anything. And his heart, he was crestfallen. You know, like he was like devastated. I guess he was pouring his heart out to me. I didn't know hardly a word he said. So he wanted to give me something. And you know, out of love. So the only thing he had was a big piece of flesh in the back. And he pulled out the big piece of flesh and he looked at me. I said, no, I can't accept it. So we have to be careful what we accept also. Somebody gives us gifts. It's not like, and even though it looks, there's no way I was going to accept that piece of flesh. And it's just an example that also when you give gifts, somebody gives us back something, you know, we should be careful of what we accept.
Can I ask a quick question? So these exchanges, you know, living exchanges, should that be only between us and a senior, pure, and like a solid devotees, or should it also be between peers that are serving with us?
Loving exchanges can be with peers. If the relationships are based on these principles, but they have to be based on these principles, and therefore, if we all try to come up to a higher level of how we relate with each other, and these principles, and we be very careful to avoid, you know, having mundane relationships based on mundane principles, then certainly we have loving relationships in this way. We should aspire for it. We should definitely aspire for it. But again, discrimination is required. You know, Rupa Goswami also, right, in Upadeshamrita says, he says that for those persons who are kanishta, you know, and we offer obeisances, we offer respect to them, and our obeisance is from a distance. We don't get too. For those who are been initiated, and he says those who are, you know, engaged and fully serving, not only do we offer obeisances to them from a distance, but we also, you know, bow down and offer obeisances to them, and to serve them. But for those who are on the topmost platform, and he says those who are fully engaged in serving the Lord, and whose heart is completely devoid of the tendencies of criticizing anybody, we serve them in a different way. We faithfully serve them, and we hear from them and associate and you know, offer service to them, and that according to their, you know, to their capacity, to their status. So Rupa Goswami also defines different ways that we associate with each other. And also, you know, there's another verse also at Narada Muni's instructions to Prahlad, not to Dhruva Maharaj, in the fourth canto, which are also quite relevant. Fourth canto. He said, every man should act like this when he meets a person more qualified than himself, should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. When he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. And then Prabhupada talks in the commentary what friendly relationships are when he sees with equals.
Which verse is that?
It's fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. It's 8th chapter, 31st, 4th verse. It's Narada's instructions to Dhruva Maharaj.